It is Friday night, and it is your AEW Rampage review for Friday, November 26, 2021. I am the Solemn Monster here for a Black Friday edition of Rampage. Hope everybody got some deals today. Black Friday, right? Tomorrow is Black Saturday. Monday is Cyber Monday. They're going to have a name for every day of the week soon. I'm going to attempt to go to a mall tomorrow. I know I'm probably on a suicide mission, but I'm going to give it a shot. Hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. Ate a lot of food. I ate way too much food. But I enjoyed myself, and for those who are asking for a picture of the noodle pudding, I did put it on Twitter, so if you want to know what it looks like, you can go there and see it. Oh, so good. The noodle pudding last night. I had leftovers. In fact, that was my lunch today. Had some of that noodle pudding. Some of that kugel. Tonight, we had Riho challenging Britt Baker to see if she can win herself a number one contenders match for the AEW Women's Championship, which she did. And that is not something I am normally a fan of. You beat your champions on TV. We'll talk about that. We have a few matches to get into. It's the easiest hour of television to watch, and so this should be the easiest review to get through here compared to all the other ones. Hit that like button, subscribe, of course, if you are not already a subscriber. That way you will be notified when we go live here on the channel. We had a couple of new channel members join a little bit earlier, so I welcome them to the family. Super chats are open. If you are new here, I read each and every single super chat that you guys send me. So, and I appreciate the support for those of you who do. We open tonight, and actually, you know, before I even get into the show tonight, I should probably just mention this, because at the end of Dynamite on Wednesday, Jim Ross had a very odd way of signing off when they went off the air. And I pointed this out in the Dynamite review. He made a comment to the effect of, I'll hopefully be seeing you soon. I don't remember the exact verbiage. But it was something that was odd enough that I noticed it, and we talked about it here on the stream. And the day after came the announcement from JR himself that he is, in fact, going to be stepping away from the announce booth to undergo radiation treatment for the skin cancer that he's being treated for. So he's having, I think, about 22 or so treatments for this, and best wishes to him. Hopefully everything goes okay. It was the smart thing to do. Take some time away, focus on your health, do what needs to be done, get back in tip-top shape. They'll do fine without him. And so Jim Ross is going to be going away for a little while. They've got Excalibur, they've got Tony Schiavone, they have Taz if they need him. They have Jericho, but they don't really need him. So they'll be fine. But best wishes to JR. The earliest that we should expect him back would be the final Dynamite of the year, which is going to be back at Daly's Place, December 29th. That's what he's aiming for. But if it takes longer, so be it. As long as he kicks cancer's ass, comes back, and is good to go, then that's all that matters. So best wishes to JR. No JR tonight. We had Excalibur, we had Ricky Starks, we had Taz, and we had Chris Jericho on commentary. Opening match was Adam Cole and the infamous Bobby Fish. What makes him so infamous, I wonder? Did he kill a man years ago when he was in prison? I mean, what makes Bobby Fish so infamous? I need to be clued in about this. Taking on Orange Cassidy and Wheeler Yuta. And this match, it's going to be very polarizing. It was an Orange Cassidy match. And so you had the comedic hijinks here at the beginning with Cassidy and Adam Cole. And every time Orange Cassidy went to go put his hands in his pockets, Adam Cole would stop him. And he would try again, and Adam Cole would stop him. And this went on. I wasn't a fan of all the silliness early. And the fans were into it. I wasn't. But I thought when this was over, I thought this match was actually a good showcase, not for Adam Cole, not for Orange Cassidy, not for Mr. Infamous, for Wheeler Yuta. This was a good showcase for Yuta, who dumped Cole out to the floor, hit Fish with an enziguri, and then almost got the tag to Orange Cassidy, but Cole pulled Cassidy off the apron to prevent the tag from happening. Yuta caught Cole and Fish with a dropkick from the middle rope and got the tag finally to Orange Cassidy, who finally put his hands down his pockets. And everybody popped. Cassidy took both heels down with a Rana, flew through the ropes with a tope, while Yuta, as soon as he hit the tope, Yuta came off the top rope, hit a crossbody dive out onto the floor. Back inside, Yuta hit a frog splash on Cole for a near fall. OC hit the Slumdog Millionaire, and Yuta followed that up with a German suplex. And Cassidy almost had the match won. He followed that up with a jackknife pin attempt, but it didn't work. So Cole and Fish went on the offense, and Yuta ended up breaking up a knee bar on Orange Cassidy. So Yuta was all over the place here in this match. I mean, this wasn't just the Orange Cassidy show here. This was, like I said, a showcase for Wheeler Yuta to have lots of moments and show off, you know, a little bit more of what he can do here in this match. He hit an angle slam on Bobby Fish for a near fall. He went to go up to the top, but Cole crotched him on the top rope and grabbed Orange Cassidy. He whipped him into the steel steps a couple of times. That kept him isolated outside. With Yuta crotched up top, Bobby Fish went up there, and Bobby Fish hit this gigantic top rope Falcon Arrow. And he won the match with it. I'm so used to seeing people kicking out of moves like this at 2.5 that I've almost been desensitized to it. That the fact that he won with a top rope Falcon Arrow, which is really a move that you should win with, the fact that he did win shocked me. But I'm glad he did. And of all the people in this match, that was a win that Bobby Fish, even more so than Adam Cole, desperately needed. Because Bobby Fish has lost a lot of matches. That's his role so far here in AEW. He came in, right? He had the match with Danielson. He wrestled Punk and a few other people. But he needed a win, especially if he's going to be associated with Adam Cole. And I don't know where that relationship might be going. He's got this loose alliance, I guess, with the Elite. He needs a few wins on TV under his belt as well. So I enjoyed the last few minutes of this. I really like what I've seen, though, from Wheeler Yuta. He hasn't gotten the same amount of airtime on the main shows that people like Daniel Garcia and Dante Martin, people like that, some of the other young guys have gotten. He hasn't gotten that amount of airtime. We've seen him in a couple of different instances, like with Jon Moxley all those weeks ago, get squashed in under a minute. So this was, you know, a way for him to really showcase, I think, more of what he can really do. There's a lot of potential with him. He's one of the many, I think, potential diamonds in the rough in terms of the young guys on this roster that they have here in this company. A guy who WWE apparently had no interest in, whatever it was, a year ago, 2 years ago, which is kind of surprising that they looked at him and didn't think, I guess, that they could do anything with him. He's not, you know, an overly small guy, but I definitely think there's something there with Wheeler. Tony Schiavone was backstage with the premier athlete, Tony Nese, somebody else who comes from the WWE world, former WWE Cruiserweight Champion, in fact, Tony Nese, who, even though he was the Cruiserweight Champion, spent most of his days on 205 Live. And that's another one. I never really understood that because, you know, in a company that puts so much emphasis on appearance and bodies and the way somebody looks and the visual appeal of someone, you know, Nese is not an overly tall guy, but he put a lot of work into transforming his body from what it was even a few years ago. And he looks like $1 million. I mean, this guy, he's in great physical shape. You know, he obviously takes good care of himself. But even there, it always seemed like he can get to a certain level, and he was never really positioned in a serious way. So it looks like AEW is going to give him an opportunity here. Obviously, he signed some kind of contract because they wouldn't be putting him in more and more, you know, TV segments if they didn't have some kind of deal with him. And so Schiavone's interviewing him, and Nese is talking about the fact that he would like to challenge Sammy Guevara for the TNT Championship. Sammy has this open challenge that's ongoing. He would like to be part of it. That brought Sammy into the picture. He showed up. He got up in Nese's face. And Nese challenged him to a title match on Rampage next Friday. Sammy accepted. And Nese put his hand out for a handshake. Sammy put his hand out to shake his hand. And when he did that, Nese caught him with a forearm to the side of the head and knocked him down. Nese went over to Sammy. He knelt down and put his knee right in Sammy's rib cage. Sammy, of course, has the injured ribs. And so while he's kneeing him in the ribs, He looks down at Sammy and he goes, "The only reason you have that," and he points to the TNT title lying on the ground, "the only reason you have that is because guys like me weren't available yet." And he walked off. Tony Nese is a great athlete. So is Sammy Guevara. I think it's going to be a fun match next week. I have no expectations of there being a title change, nor should there be. I think there was a better chance of having a title change on Dynamite when Sammy had the match with Jay Lethal, and we didn't get a title change there either. Sammy right now is in that mode where he's racking up wins. Right? He's knocking them down. They're lining him up. He's knocking him down, the whole open challenge thing. Sammy, to go to the point that I was making when I was talking about the potential of someone like a Wheeler Yuta, Sammy is already, he's already there as far as I'm concerned. Guys like him and Darby, they're already there. Sammy Guevara is somebody who in 2022 could be challenging for the AEW championship before year's end. He's not that far off, I think, from being at that level. I don't see him, he's not at that point yet. But he's got the crowd firmly behind him. He goes out there. He kills it in every match that he's in. As punchable of a face as he has and as hateable as he was as a heel, he's been a great babyface. And I think this TNT title reign can have some length to it for at least a few more months. I don't see any reason to take the championship off him anytime soon. That will not happen with Tony Nese next week, but we'll get a good match out of it. So I was talking about Black Friday earlier. We had a Black Friday deal match on this show. Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, taking on the very first AEW Women's Champion, Riho, non-title. If Riho can beat Britt, she earns a future AEW Women's Championship match. Riho, the story behind this is that Riho was never eliminated. They had the Casino Battle Royal, back it all out with the women. Riho, there was some kind of malfunction that occurred during the match, a botched spot or something. And according to Fightful, Riho was very upset about what had happened. She technically was not eliminated from the Battle Royal. She went out under the bottom rope, and they called her out for some reason. So AEW took a negative and decided to turn it into a positive. And they worked it into the story here. Now, it felt weird because the Battle Royal was over 2 months ago. I don't know if Riho's left to go back to Japan and only first came back or where she's been. All of this just came out of nowhere. So I like that they were kind of following up on that story, but the story is already, it's already outdated. It's already 2 months old. I don't know where Riho has been. Even if she has been out of the country and only first came back and was available only now, it still is very weird how this was all brought up seemingly out of nowhere. But that's the story behind this match. Riho hit a diving crossbody early on, off the top, down onto Britt Baker and Rebel. There was no Jamie Hayter there, but she came down, knocked both women down outside the ring. That was the second top rope crossbody that we had in the first two matches on this show. That's too much. I know we see dives, basic dives through the ropes and everything. That's pretty much in every match now that we see. I just thought having two giant crossbodies from the top out onto the floor, back-to-back matches, I would avoid doing that. I thought that was a bit much. Britt was on offense when they came back from the commercial break. She was in control. She suplexed Riho in the corner, set up for an air raid crash, where Riho avoided it, hit a suplex for a near fall. Riho went to the top for a double stop. Britt avoided it. And she hit a ripcord elbow and finally hit the air raid crash, only got a near fall out of it. Riho fought back, Northern Light suplex for two, and then hit the top rope double stomp. She got it this time. All 78 pounds of Riho off the top rope, down onto Britt Baker. Only got a two count. Baker went for a fisherman's neck breaker, and Riho slipped out, cradled her, and got the three. So Riho wins, and Riho now has in her back pocket an AEW Women's Championship match at some point to be determined. They haven't said when. We do have Winter is Coming, the Winter is Coming episode of Dynamite on December 15th, so it could very well be that's when the match is going to take place. Normally, I would hate the fact, and frankly, even here, I'm not thrilled about it, but normally I would hate the fact that Britt got pinned especially just pinned so cleanly on TV like that. I am not generally a fan of pinning your champions on TV. I hate these championship opportunity matches they do with the champions lately on WWE television. But I always say, look, if the champion is going to get beaten, the champion is going to get pinned on TV, the person who beats the champion should at the very least, if not be the champion, they should at the very least be next in line for a shot at the title. And that is the case here. That is what they are doing with Riho. Riho is now positioned as the number one contender for the AEW World Women's Championship. In this case, what makes this a little bit different is that, besides the fact that Riho was the first AEW Women's Champion, so she's not just some rando in there, they are telling a story, and Excalibur mentioned this on commentary. Britt Baker has not had a whole lot of luck in the past with Riho. In fact, Britt Baker has yet to defeat Riho in a singles match. This is like the one woman who has frustrated her, maybe outside of Thunder Rosa, the one woman who has frustrated her. She cannot seem to figure her out. She cannot beat Riho. And Excalibur did mention that on commentary, so I assume, I have to think, that that's going to work its way into the story they tell between these two women. They were back in the ring tonight, and again, even as the champion, Britt Baker was outsmarted by Riho. Maybe Riho has this woman's number. Maybe Riho's going to be the one to take the championship away from Britt. Britt cannot beat this woman. So there is a story there. I'll allow it. But under normal circumstances, again, not a fan of beating your champions on TV like that. And this whole thing, again, just kind of felt like it came out of nowhere because it was all predicated on the Battle Royal situation with Riho, which, you know, it feels like a lifetime ago at this point. But they need at least one challenger for Britt before they get to Thunder Rosa. And so that's the role that Riho is going to fill. Riho is as good a choice as any. Riho is very good. Riho is going to lose, but Riho is very good. And we know, based on, you know, what we saw with them tonight, we'll at least get a good match out of it. We had Eddie Kingston in the main event, one-on-one against Daniel Garcia with 2.0 in his corner. Matt Lee. I love Matt Lee. He's got that Canadian accent. 2.0! I can't do it, but just whenever he cuts a promo, whenever he talks, he's like a cartoon character. I love the guy. He's loud, he's obnoxious, he's the perfect heel. You want to see him get smacked around. Garcia tried to turn it into a fight of fisticuffs early. You don't want to exchange fists with Eddie Kingston. That did not go very well for Daniel Garcia. And the 2.0 crew pulled Garcia out to the floor to try to regroup. Kingston went out there. He took each one of them out, took out Matt Lee, threw him into the barricade. He took down Jeff Parker. When Kingston got back into the ring, Garcia caught him with a kick. He took control at that point. And Garcia went to whip Kingston not into the corner. Kingston overpowered him with chops, poked him in the eye. He hit a knee off the middle rope. And after he hit a knee off the middle rope, Kingston started selling his knee. And this was this turned into the story of the match, was Eddie hobbling around, limping around, and selling this knee injury. Garcia came back with a chop to the throat, started to go after Kingston's leg. He found a body part to focus on. And Kingston came back. He was biting Garcia. This all happened right before the final picture-in-picture break. We come back from break, and Garcia was working over Eddie's knee. Eddie came back with an exploder. Garcia followed up with a reverse figure four. Eddie was in a lot of pain, but he made the bottom rope for the break. Kingston was working on one leg at this point. The old one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest. He got a standing powerbomb that brought him about 30 seconds to catch his breath. Garcia came back, got a knee bar. Eddie got out of that, kicked his way out of that. Garcia started raining blows down on him like this was a fucking MMA fight. He is just raining blows down upon this guy. And Kingston was trying to cover up and protect himself on the mat. He got Eddie to his feet, gave him one chop, and then hit the ropes. I don't know what he was coming off to try for, but he hit the ropes. He came off. Eddie caught him with a half and half suplex. But again, Eddie Kingston cannot capitalize right away. He's still selling the knee. We then got ourselves a slugfest in the middle of the ring. Lots of slaps, lots of palm thrusts back and forth. Eddie hit the enziguri. Garcia comes back with a shot that takes Kingston down to the mat. Eddie hits the Saito suplex, and finally, the spinning back fist knocks out Daniel Garcia, and Eddie Kingston gets the win. More hard-hitting than I expected it to be. This was good. I wouldn't say it was a main event you should go out of your way to see. Daniel Garcia is impressive. Daniel Garcia is impressive. Daniel Garcia has had himself quite a few last few months. He had that one stretch, it was about a month ago, month and a half ago, where, I mean, he wrestled everybody in the span of a week. Not just at AEW, but on the indies. He got in the ring with Suzuki. He was in the ring, I think, with Danielson that same week. I think it was the same week. So he's got a huge upside. They see a lot in him. Everything that I have read up on this kid, every independent show, people who have worked with him, they have nothing but praise for him. So he's another one of those young, no pun intended, one of those young bucks in this company who has a huge upside, who could really be somebody one day. Not a physically huge guy, but he goes in there and, you know, he can grapple, he can brawl, he works over the body parts. He doesn't do a lot of high-flying stuff. But I like what I see from him. So this was good. 2.0 attacked Kingston when it was over. Chris Jericho took off the headset. He left the announce desk. He charged to the ring to make the save. And as I predicted on the Dynamite stream on Wednesday night when they did that backstage segment where 2.0 interrupted Jericho's promo, I said, I bet you we're going to get a tag team match out of it. Nothing is official yet, but based on what they did here, it sure looks like we're heading for a tag team match very soon. Chris Jericho, Eddie Kingston against the members of 2.0. And I don't know when Jon Moxley is due to come back. But whenever he is due to come back, if it is in the near future, I'm still holding out hope that we can still get heel Moxley, and with him maybe heel Kingston, and we can get that tag match against Punk and Danielson. But maybe they turn on Jericho or something. I don't know how long this alliance is going to last, this unofficial alliance, I guess, that we're headed for with Jericho and Kingston. But we'll see. When Moxley comes back, I don't know when he is due back. You know, GCW made a huge announcement today that they're officially sold out at the Hammerstein Ballroom for their New York City debut at the Hammerstein in January. 2,000 tickets gone for GCW's first show in that building. The GCW champion is still Jon Moxley. So I'm sure they're hoping that he's well enough to come back before then, and then you can add Jon Moxley to that show at the Hammerstein. He is still the GCW champion. Congrats to them, by the way. That is a very big accomplishment. For an independent promotion that has no television, no national television, to walk into New York City in a building like that, that WWE has run, Ring of Honor has run, promotions that are much bigger than they are and had more money behind them, and they go in there and they sell the building out in the span of 2 days. Whatever tickets were left, they sold out on Thanksgiving Day. That's impressive, no matter which way you slice it. So, congrats to GCW. This Wednesday on Dynamite, we have the full lineups for Dynamite and Rampage next week. Cody Rhodes, the beloved Cody Rhodes, will be in Atlanta, GA. I'm sure they'll love Cody in Atlanta, right? I mean, they loved his father. I'm sure Cody is going to get a warm reception when he comes to Atlanta this Wednesday. He goes one-on-one with Andrade El Idolo in an Atlanta street fight. Chris Statlander against Ruby Soho in the final quarterfinal match of the TBS title tournament. I think Ruby is going on there. Bryan Danielson battles Allen Angels of the Dark Order in his hometown of Atlanta. And the Gun Club, Billy and Colton Gunn, take on Sting and Darby Allin. That should be the end of Darby Allin's feud with the Gun Club. Next Friday on Rampage, Sammy Guevara defends the TNT title against Tony Nese. And the Lucha Bros take on FTR 2 out of 3 falls for the AEW Tag Team Championship. That is going to be a great main event. That is going to be a fun match to watch. And that was the Rampage show for Black Friday. Again, the fastest, easiest hour of television that I watch all week when it comes to this wrestling stuff. 82% thumbs up, about 18% thumbs down. You know, I'm sure Cody and Tony Khan are very much self-aware of the reactions that Cody has been getting. And if they ever had the balls to turn Cody just full-on heel, I'm actually enjoying what they're doing now. I'm enjoying them just kind of leaving it alone and letting the crowd react naturally. And Cody just coming out and having this bewildered look on his face like, what did I do? You know, Cody playing dumb and wondering, you know, what he did wrong. And the people just completely shitting on him. I just find it very entertaining. But at some point, if you really want, you just want to go full bore heel with Cody and you want to get a great reaction, you have Cody, because he's teased it a couple of times in matches. He'll do the double underhook like he's going for a pedigree, but then he'll hit the Tiger Driver 98 or something. One of these days, you have Cody Rhodes in the ring, preferably against the babyface that people love. And then he finally says, fuck it, and he hits the pedigree. Oh, the heat that Cody would get once he hits that pedigree. I don't know if we're going to get it, but I do think it would get some great heat if they ever did. Let us go to your super chats and hang out a little bit here on a Friday night. Right, always fun to hang out with you guys on Friday night. Do, by the way, hit that thumbs up. Because it does boost the video, does boost the stream. It's the easiest way to support this stream, hitting that thumbs up. But of course, I do want to get through your super chats as well. If you have questions about tonight's show, AEW in general, something else, feel free to chime in and I shall do my best to answer it, or at least read it, even if I can't answer it. We got Joshua, Carlos, Ocean Man. Dropping $4.99. And he starts with a non-wrestling super chat. You never know what you're going to get here. Non-wrestling related, but buy, rent, sell, discard of these movies. Blazing Saddles, Spaceballs, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and Airplane. Believe it or not, I have never seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I have seen the other three. I was just talking about Spaceballs the other night, in fact. I don't know about the whole buy, rent, sell, discard thing. I like Spaceballs and Blazing Saddles. I like Airplane, too, but I would put Airplane further down. I would go Spaceballs, Blazing Saddles, and then Airplane. And Joshua says, what are your expectations on Xia Li? I am worried, he says. They have done a tremendous job on the vignettes for her so far. I saw the latest Xia Li comic book vignette they did on SmackDown tonight. They look great. They look great. It doesn't change the fact that I expect that when Xia Li debuts within 6 weeks, she'll be gone. Because that's the way things work in WWE. Gone either released or gone as in forgotten and we will barely see her on TV. Again, they really want to have a Chinese star over on that main roster. And so that might be the best thing going for her that helps her cause. So she might stick around a little bit longer than Hit Row and some of the other ones. But I have absolutely no expectations. None. I have no expectations whatsoever. And it's better that way. So if she succeeds, if she turns out to be, you know, the next Bianca Belair type of success story, I'll be happy for her. But if not, at least I won't set myself up for disappointment. So I have zero expectations for Xia Li on the main roster. I have no reason to believe they'll treat her any differently than some of these other NXT folks. Naif Al-Safar, thank you for the $4.99. Tuxedo T. Servo was initially surprised that Riho won, but it does fit the story that Britt cannot beat her in singles matches. Britt should win when it matters. Food Hive. The fifth pillar main event, Garcia only wrestles last. When Daniel Garcia wrestles, it usually is in the main event. Quintus Brown, decent show tonight. I did not like that Britt lost, but she needs someone to face at Battle of the Belts. You think Battle of the Belts? I'm thinking we'll get it even sooner. I'm thinking winter is coming. I think we might get the Thunder Rosa match at Battle of the Belts. But then that would be part one. I think there would be a part two. That could come at Revolution, which apparently is the first week in March. I thought it was the end of February. I guess Revolution's March 6th or whatever. I forgot the exact day. But I could see them getting to the Thunder Rosa match as early as January 8th. And then having some kind of screwy finish, and Thunder Rosa has to, you know, work her way into a rematch, and then she takes the championship from Britt Baker. But first, they have to reignite the whole issue with Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker. That's where I think Thunder Rosa losing and getting screwed over in the TBS tournament could come into play. Especially after, you know, Jamie Hayter was eliminated, so it's kind of how I see things playing out. Marcus the Entertainer should have been Santana and Ortiz to save Kingston. Yeah, you know, Santana and Ortiz and Brian Cage, there are certain people I'm puzzled by how little they have been utilized of late. Santana and Ortiz most of all. I have to think their time will come, but the fact that they haven't even held the belts yet. I think they had one match even challenging for them earlier in the year is very bizarre to me. Bodacious Booger Eater, who I believe is one of our new channel members, says Beetlejuice is alive. Bodacious Booger Eater. And he says, would you ever consider playing dodgeball with Steve the Pirate? I would not. Quintus Brown, which interview segment do you enjoy more? Paul Heyman with Kayla Braxton or Tony with Britt Baker? I like the Kayla and the Paul Heyman stuff. The way Heyman just sells it every time when she sneaks up on him, I think is great. Bodacious again, buy or sell, Sloth from the Goonies or Beetlejuice, who is the uglier character? Well, Sloth, obviously. I mean, the guy had one fucking eye down here and one eye up here. Beetlejuice had some paint on his face. Beetlejuice is like fucking Brad Pitt compared to Sloth. Are you kidding me? How is that even a question? Rodimus Prime, buy, sell, or rent, Main Event Mafia, NWO 2000, or Aces and Eights. Oh my goodness, I haven't had an Aces and Eights mention in a while. Buy, sell, or rent. Oh, I got a buy on the Main Event Mafia. I actually think the Main Event Mafia was kind of cool. What would I rent? What would I rent? The NWO was fucking trash, I think, by that point. In 2000. I mean, they had run that into the ground. You know what? I'm actually going to rent on Aces and Eights. Because there were a few moments, even their theme music. I thought their theme music was actually very cool. There were a few moments, a few twists and turns in that storyline. Because I was watching Impact every week and reviewing it during that period. So I saw all of the Aces and Eights stuff. And a lot of it was garbage. But I'll still rent on that and I'll sell on the NWO 2000. Flamethrower, I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving, my friend. For about 30 seconds on SmackDown, I thought your Jeff Hardy prediction came true. I was actually happy for a second. Well, that is the WWE way. They get your hopes up and then they stomp on your balls. Bodacious, buy or sell, chill with Marvin the Martian on Mars or help the coyote catch the Roadrunner. That fucking Roadrunner, let me tell you, man, I always felt bad for the coyote. I would help the coyote catch the Roadrunner. We would set a trap, we would catch him, preferably it would be one of these electric traps, like a zapper kind of thing. We would fry his ass pretty good, let me tell you. Marcus the Entertainer, Orange Cassidy just feels out of place to me. You know, he does sometimes to me also, but the crowd reacts. When you're over, you're over. I was not a fan of the silliness, though, tonight at the beginning of that match. Bodacious says, would you rather do action films with Ben Stiller or horror movies with Long... I don't know who that is. So we'll say Ben Stiller. Has Ben Stiller even been in a horror movie? He might have made some bad movies that were horror movies. I don't think he's ever been in a horror movie before. Robin Williams was. 1 hour photo. He was out of his element for that movie. That was really good, though. He was actually really creepy in that movie. Ryan Spies, nobody kicks out of the Falcon Arrow. That is not true, but it's a nice idea. But that is not true. Drew Johnson, Solo Monster, you're the man. Thank you for the $5 super chat, Drew. I do appreciate that. Oh, look at this. Our boy Bulu is joining us tonight. I was wondering where Bulu was. I hope Bulu had a happy Thanksgiving wherever he was, if he was celebrating. Bulu says, keep or delete the Island Boy Rappers or Carrot Top as guest hosts on Raw. I don't know who the Island Boy Rappers are, so I don't buy on either one of them. I can keep them both off the show. And who really won the MJF CM Punk promo? It was a draw. I thought they were very evenly matched in that promo. I look forward to round two. Chris Quillman, happy Thanksgiving, Mr. Monster. I looked up your noodle pudding, and I think I'm going to give it a shot and try making it. Any tips would be appreciated. You know, everybody was making fun of me for calling it noodle pudding because they probably figured it was going to look like actual pudding. I call it noodle pudding because the person who made it, cousin of mine, it's his recipe, has always called it noodle pudding, so I never thought anything of it. I ate the food. I enjoyed it. I said, you know what? I'm going to call it by the name that he gave it. So if you look at the picture I posted on Twitter, I mean, it looks like Picture like a slice of cake, a giant slice of cake. But if it was just like egg noodles, like melded together, and there were people saying, oh, it looks dry. Trust me, I don't know what it was glazed in. It had an oily texture to it. It was not dry. It was delicious, and it had like a cinnamon flavor. As you see on your screen, Owen kicking Brett's leg out of his leg, one of my new favorite super chats. I'm going to kick your leg out of your leg. Ah. God bless Owen. Only a few more weeks, we're going to be getting more information on the Owen. The Owen Hart Tournament coming up very soon. On the Winter is Coming Dynamite Tony Khan said, we're going to be learning more about the format of the tournament and some other information. So we're looking forward to that. All these people who didn't know what noodle pudding was have led a very sheltered life. I feel bad for you people. Bulu. Keep or delete. Binge watch The Golden Girls or binge watch Family Ties. The Golden Girls. Who do you have in a rap battle? Kevin Federline or Riff Raff? Don't give a shit about either one of them. Marcus the Entertainer, CM Punk and MJF promo has been trending on YouTube. It was very smart of AEW to put that whole segment. Before the show was even over, they took the whole segment, all 18 minutes of it, and put it on YouTube. If you didn't see it, it is one of the best segments all year on any wrestling television show. Bulu, with immense hands-on help, who do you think could cut a better promo? Okay, so if either of these had hands-on help, I guess from a person who actually knows how to cut a promo, who would cut the better promo? Chewbacca or King Kong? You know, when I hear King Kong, I just think of Denzel in Training Day. King Kong ain't got shit on me. I'm going to go with King Kong. King Kong can cut a promo on Denzel in response to what he said in Training Day. Jesse Bia. Bia or Bia? I'll call him Bia. Thank you for the $10 super chat. Riho cuts really charismatic promos in Japanese. Missed opportunity that AEW never let her or other Joshi talent promo in Japanese, even in video packages where subtitles are easy. Well, they kind of did with, Maki Ito. I honestly don't know that people would have the tolerance for it. I'm sorry to say. You know, Andrade has done some promos with subtitles, and he doesn't really usually say much of anything. So even if you know, someone is doing a promo and they're really charismatic doing it, but it's in another language and you have the subtitles, I feel like it loses some of that charisma, gets lost in translation. I just don't know that it's going to translate as well to the American audience. But we don't see any promos from Riho on television. So, I mean, I'm all for giving her more promo time if she's going to be featured more on television. Isaiah Roca, buy or sell on who has the better Final Boss music, Walter or Miro? I like both their music. I'm going to say Walter, though. Dry chicken and turkey without flavor. Forget four pillars. There are 12 pillars of AEW stars in the future. They do have a lot of young, promising talent on that roster. Channel 423. I used to, you know, when I had cable, I had about 423 channels, 387 of which I had no idea that I even had. Now with YouTube TV, it's a lot less, but it's a lot easier to navigate. But Channel 423 says, since Bray is gone, there is no reason to watch WWE. So Channel is a big Bray Wyatt fan. Not a fan of him being fired by WWE. Bray has been gone for the majority of the year. He came back for WrestleMania, but he really didn't do anything all year in this company. He got burned, you know, burnt to a crisp at the December pay-per-view almost a year ago. And basically appeared at WrestleMania the night after in a Firefly Funhouse, and that was it. He really didn't do anything this year. He got buried. He got burned and he got buried. A double whammy for Bray Wyatt. Jay Baker. Wonderland with Alice or Neverland with Pan? Wonderland with Alice. It was a live-action Alice in Wonderland movie. I remember as a kid, it haunted me. It was like a horror movie. I don't remember who was in it. Pretty sure that was Alice in Wonderland, though. Freaked me out. And Magician Sapphire. One day I hope Eddie Kingston challenges and wins the AEW World title. That would be a great babyface moment, especially with his backstory and his real-life experiences. I don't see that happening. It would be a great moment, and there's always a story they could tell if they want to. And I like Eddie Kingston. I think Eddie is great. I do. But some people are just not destined to be the world champion. And I don't believe Eddie Kingston is destined to be the AEW world champion. There are other people who are in line ahead of him who deserve a shot at that title, who I think would be great in that role. And AEW is not the kind of company to, you know, bounce people in and out of championships, play hot potato with it. So right now it's Hangman Page. You know, maybe it'll go to Danielson. Maybe it'll go to CM Punk. Maybe it'll go next to MJF. But you've got Hangman. You've got MJF. You've got Adam Cole. You've got Darby, among others, who you could put that championship on. Eddie Kingston, he's not on that list. He's not even in the top five. Top 10, maybe, yeah. But top five, no. I don't see that happening. TNT champion? Yes, very possible. World champion? No. Amari Johnson, what's going on, Amari? Thank you for the $5 super chat. Pumpkin pie or sweet potato pie? Also, if AEW launches a network, how much a month would be fair, assuming they include the pay-per-views? I don't know that they would include the pay-per-views. You know, my sense from things that Tony Khan has said before, maybe past, like their catalog of past pay-per-views. I don't know that AEW wants to basically bastardize what few pay-per-views they have and have people pay $5 and, you know, I mean, that's what WWE did. That's the gamble they took, and that's part of the reason why their pay-per-views don't feel as special. You know, you pay next to nothing for them. They put next to no effort into a lot of them in terms of promoting them. I don't want AEW to fall into that trap. Their pay-per-views are some of the best events all year. What would a fair price be, though, for an AEW network if it had, I guess, past content on it? A lot of that is going to depend on what that catalog looks like. If it's just past AEW Dynamites and Rampages and pay-per-views, that doesn't really appeal to me. I've seen all of those shows. There hasn't been enough distance to where I'm going to go back and watch any of them. You know, for me personally, what I pay for the WWE network for on the cock over there, it's, yes, for the pay-per-views because I have to watch them to review them and I don't feel like spending $50 a month on pay-per-views. So the pay-per-views being on there is huge, but it's the classic content, but also their original content, like some of the documentaries they've done, which are very, very good. And I'm going to have a lot to say on the podcast. I'm going to go on a rant this Sunday about what's going on with some of their documentaries that are being held hostage right now. They've produced some great content that apparently may never see the light of day. So that's not good, and I'm going to have more to say about that on 7:32 on Sunday. But they do some really great work on those documentaries and what's that series? They have the Untold, the Icons, you know, they did a few Icons episodes on Yokozuna and Beth Phoenix and other people like that. So that's really what interests me the most with the network. It's the classic stuff, and it's some of the documentary content that they do. What does AEW have? There's, you know, the classic WWE content that I'm going back and watching is 25, 35 years old. The AEW content goes back to 2019. I'm not going to pay monthly for that because that's not what appeals the most to me. So it really depends on what they offer. What I would be willing to pay. If the content is worthwhile, I would pay $5, $10 a month. I'd have no issue doing that. But it really depends. Okay, what are they, you know, what are they offering? And are the pay-per-views part of it or are the pay-per-views not part of it? I don't know that that's something they really want to do, is give away their pay-per-views for next to nothing. I still feel like the money they make off those pay-per-views is an important part of their business. Boots. What happened to the Atomic Drop? They should bring it back. Maybe an Atomic Drop off the top rope. It hurts my yam bags just thinking of it. Nobody will ever sell an Atomic Drop the way that Ravishing Rick Rude sold the Atomic Drop. They may as well just retire the move. So, you can't beat that. I'm okay with them never using it again. Rick Rude literally had a Twitter account dedicated to nothing but him taking Atomic Drops. That's how great he was at it. Mr. Perfect was pretty good too. No coincidence the two of them were best friends. Bulu Fatulu. Keep or delete. Howard the Duck or Duckman. Fuck the Duck. I don't care about either one of them. Keep or delete. Heavyweights or Good Burger? You talking movies? I did see Good Burger. I'll go with Good Burger. I don't know what Heavyweights is. I assume that's a movie. If it is, I didn't see it. I thought you were asking me in terms of like weight classes and stuff. Yeah, Bash, you know, the Atomic Drop was one of those moves you really had to suspend your disbelief. But then you start getting into, like, even something as basic as an Irish whip. When you whip somebody into the ropes. And you could do that. I mean, you could throw somebody into the ropes, but then they have to come off the ropes. If you really start analyzing every move, none of this shit is believable. Absolutely none of it is believable. Kicking somebody in the nuts is about as believable as it gets. But yeah, the Atomic Drop does require some suspension of disbelief. But I do like the way some of the old school guys would sell those moves. Marcus the Entertainer. AEW should buy the Ring of Honor tape library if it is available. Ring of Honor owns the all-in footage. I think that could be very valuable at some point to AEW. Amari, I'm a pecan pie guy. I don't go with sweet potato. I don't go with pumpkin. Apple pie or pecan pie? That's my favorite kind. Well, second favorite kind of pie. Jay Baker, Mrs. Doubtfire or Hook? Mrs. Doubtfire. I enjoyed that. Beowulf says the Irish whip started as a judo throw and was a finishing move. You go back far enough, the clothesline was a finishing move. The heart punch was a finishing move. Guys were able to get more out of less. And as wrestling changed and evolved over time, and people started just escalating and escalating and escalating, you can't get away with that. It's very hard now to hit. You know, if Hulk Hogan came along now, he wouldn't be able to hit the ropes and hit a leg drop and win his matches. Because now everyone is always upping the game. Got to try something different that they've never seen before, or something more high risk, or something more high impact. But back then, I mean, the most basic moves, a boot to the face, a drop kick. Drop kick was like a deadly finish for some people. Bodacious, the booger eater is back. Buy or sell, Top Gun or Magnum P.I.? I did watch Magnum P.I. I'll go with Magnum P.I. The original. I think they rebooted it recently. Not that rebooted garbage, if they did reboot it, if that's what I'm thinking of. Talk about the original. Tom Selleck, the mustache. I always used to enjoy it when Selleck would go on Conan O'Brien's show and they would do skits about the about his mustache. I vaguely remember there being a skit on Conan when Selleck was on once, and the mustache was like in intensive care, and they had like the mustache in a little hospital bed or something. Am I remembering this, or am I just out of my fucking mind? I always enjoyed that. Clint says the headlock was so over. Hey, MJF won his match at the pay-per-view with a headlock takeover. He's bringing back the old school finishes. Yeah, I saw what they did with Toni Storm tonight. You know, I have to say, WWE has a real knack for realism. Did you see SmackDown tonight? WWE, they are so good at making an angle feel so real. When we watched Toni Storm on SmackDown tonight take a pie to the face by Charlotte Flair, who goes to walk away, comes back down to the ringside area, and proceeds to pie Toni Storm for a second time in the face, and stands there, and Toni Storm does nothing. She stands there with pie all over her face, and frosting all over her face. And she does nothing. She stands there and she pouts, and they play Charlotte's music, and Charlotte walks off. Because apparently, when you get assaulted or pied in the face by somebody, even if they're standing 3 feet in front of you, when their music starts, you are paralyzed and you are unable to move. Your limbs, they won't function. She stood there like a fucking idiot on that show tonight. I don't understand. Why is it so hard for this company to book baby faces? Why? Why is it so hard to get baby faces? Why is it that every time I watch WWE, it's always about getting heat? The heels have to get heat. We have to get heat. We have to get heat. Everybody in that company, they must be nice and warm and toasty at home. They get lots of heat in the wintertime. They love getting heat. Can't book baby faces for shit, but they love getting heat. She looked like a complete fucking clown standing there. Like, she literally looked like a clown. With the white shit all over her face. The only thing missing was the red nose. And you know, the Toni Storm thing. One would assume that they're saving Toni Storm's revenge for next week. Of course, I might look like a moron when next week comes and she doesn't get her revenge. But even if that's the case, My point is, don't put your baby faces in a position to look like a fool. If you didn't want Toni Storm to get her revenge now, because you want to hold it off for next week, because you have, you know, next week's television to book, and you want to save it for next week, don't have her stand there 2 feet in front of Charlotte like a moron and not move a muscle to even try to go after her. The way that they do these things is so counterproductive and so ridiculously stupid. Tuxedo cannot understand why faces, baby faces, have such a hard time getting over in WWE. I can't imagine why. What a mystery. What a mystery it is, right? Gabriella says, I think Lana getting a wedding cake on her face was better, though. Don't remind me of that whole storyline. Bodacious says, by herself, Fat Albert or the fat kid from Stand By Me? Who was the fat kid from Stand By Me? I'm trying to remember now. I know Corey Feldman was in there. I don't remember who played the fat kid in Stand By Me. I guess we'll go with Fat Albert. Pillow v. Pillow, I cannot wait to see Bryan Danielson against Negative One. Bryan Danielson going to put Negative One in cattle mutilation, but his arms are so small that he'll slip out. And then he'll cradle Danielson for the win, and everybody will lose their minds when Negative One pins Bryan Danielson. Jerry O'Connell, there you go, that's right. I knew he went on to be in some movies that I saw, I just couldn't remember the name. Jerry O'Connell, there you go. Hey, Farhan, thank you, sir. All the way from Valley Stream. I'm going to be in Valley Stream tomorrow, as a matter of fact. I have to go, I'm going to be near that whole shopping center over there, Green Acres. So thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Tuxedo says Negative One is technically in the Dark Order. Hey, what's his hometown? Where is Negative One from? Because Danielson is doing this whole angle where he's beating the Dark Order members in their hometown. He'll beat Allen Angels in Atlanta this week coming up. Where is Negative One from? And are they bringing Dynamite there in the next few weeks? I don't believe they are. Yeah, Marco Stunt. I don't know where Marco Stunt is. I mean, he could stay off TV as far as I'm concerned. That's fine with me. But he kind of disappeared off the face of the earth. I don't know what happened to him. Dry Chicken, how would you feel if Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair had a death match on GCW? I mean, it would never happen, so I don't feel anything. I'm sure it would get great heat in the building. I think Becky Lynch would be over like gangbusters in New York. I think it would be a lot of fun to be there live for a match like that, but we're not going to see it. So I don't really see the point in talking about it. Rochester. Rochester, New York. I don't know if they're in Rochester between now and January, although they are on Long Island in a couple of weeks. I have a friend of mine, by the way, was at the UBS Arena, the brand new UBS Arena in Long Island, over there in Elmont. He was there for an Islanders game tonight. Says it's really beautiful over there. They've got this beer garden there, a bunch of new bars, you know, on the premises there. I have not been there yet, but he said that it looks really nice. So if you are heading to the UBS Arena in a few weeks, or WWE is going to be there on Monday for Raw. I would not go to Raw. I think my Raw days are done. I have no interest in going to Raw. But if you are going to Raw on Monday at the new arena, apparently they've got a beer garden and some really nice amenities there at the building. Building just opened a few weeks ago. Brand new. Bodacious. Buy or sell John Cusack or Nick Cage as Batman. John Cusack. I never really thought of John Cusack as Batman. That's intriguing to me. I'll go John Cusack. Firepanda 007, how would you turn John Moxley heel when he comes back? You might not need to do much. He was already well on his way. I think when John Moxley comes back, it's going to be very hard on that first night for him to be anything but a babyface, because everybody is going to cheer for him. He's going to get a big standing ovation. So I think you just kind of go with it and maybe let him go out there. And if he wants the mic, let him cut a heartfelt, passionate, you know, just promo from the heart. You know, if he wants to thank people for their support or talk, if he wants to talk about his issues, let him go out there and do it. Because I think that would be a very memorable segment. And a lot of it really depends on whether or not he's still going to be, you know, loosely aligned with Eddie Kingston. Is he going to be just kind of flying solo? I think the fact that he lost his spot in the Eliminator and Danielson went on to win, that right there could be the easiest story to tell, where he confronts Bryan Danielson. And I don't know at that point if Danielson is still playing the heel like he is now. But let's say by that point he's back to being a babyface and Moxley comes back. Moxley can, you know, take issue with Danielson and say, look, you won the tournament, but that was mine. You know, life got in the way. I had to go take care of business. But you and I well know that if I didn't have to leave when I did, that I would have gone on to win that thing. And I would have been the one challenging Kenny Omega for the championship. And then you can go from there and maybe just have him kind of descend into madness, which is kind of what was happening before. And maybe have a match with Danielson, and he loses, and then he snaps. Or he uses nefarious means to beat Danielson. And that could be the beginning of a heel turn. But I think the fact that he was going to be in that tournament, go all the way to the finals, and I think he was going to win, and he didn't, and he had that taken away from him, is all the impetus you need to build to a heel turn for Jon Moxley. He knew that he was on his way to being the AEW World Champion for a second time. And he had it taken away from him. And now he's pissed off and he's going to run through whoever he has to run through to get back to being the number one contender. And he will. Because Moxley can make for a great heel challenger, I think, for Hangman Page. Maybe even in Vegas in May at Double or Nothing. You could do Hangman against Moxley. Devin from NJ2000. Have you watched Hold on a second here. They're coming in hot and heavy here. I love it. I love it. But I gotta scroll back. Here we go. Devin, why do people still take part in the what chant? Because they're brain dead. Bodacious, better character actor, Kevin Bacon or Steve Guttenberg? I'm going to go Steve Guttenberg. I enjoyed Steve Guttenberg in Short Circuit Part 2. Now, wait a minute. No, was it part one? It was part one. I'm sorry. It was him and Ali Sheedy, right, in part one. Yeah, because part two was Ben Fisher and Michael McKean. Right, so Guttenberg, I think, was in the first Short Circuit movie. Yeah. Of all the movies he was in, the one when I say Steve Guttenberg, I think of Short Circuit. Bob the Builder says, have you watched Dexter Reboot? Also watch Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones is on my list after The Wire. I'm just about ready to wrap up the final episodes of The Shield. It's been like, you know, whatever it's been, 15 years, 12 years since I've seen it. You can never really replicate your first time watching a show. Oh, I wish I could. I wish I could go back and watch it, that Breaking Bad, like from the very first time. But it's been long enough that, like, a lot of stuff I forgot about. So it's been a lot of fun going back and watching The Shield. So by the end of this weekend, I think I'm going to be done. And at that point, I promised my brother, who's a huge fan of The Wire, you got to watch The Wire, you got to watch The Wire. So that's the next show we're going to start on, is The Wire. But after that, we might be doing Game of Thrones. Because everybody says Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones is great. So I'm going to give that a shot next. But Dexter, I never watched. I have no interest in the Dexter reboot because I never watched. I never watched Dexter the first time around. I heard that show really fell off a cliff in the last few seasons. EJ Slemp, my family and I played a bunch of fun trivia games yesterday. I want to make a wrestling trivia game for Christmas. What question should I put? Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, there was a lot of great questions here in the Super Chats. You should be taking notes. Why are people brain dead, and why do they keep chanting what 20 years after the fact? There's a question for you. That's a trick question, because there is no logical answer for it, other than people are fucking morons. James Auburn, WWE, says, just have him use his first name. It's easier to remember. AEW says, we'll have Cage, Cage, Page, Page, and Gage. Now we just need somebody named Rage. And then we'll be complete. Riley Archer, for the most part, I have enjoyed Roman Reigns' character shift since last year, but his title run is now giving me Triple H Reign of Terror vibes. I'm not there yet. I'm getting there, and I don't blame Roman Reigns for it. I blame WWE for not having any challengers built up for him. Brock Lesnar is coming back. We knew Brock Lesnar was coming back. His suspension is now officially over. And they announced at the end of the show tonight on SmackDown that he will be on SmackDown next week. So Brock is back. And why is Brock back early when you would expect he wouldn't be back until Royal Rumble time? Because they don't have anybody. They don't have anybody. Months ago, a couple months ago, even before the draft, I pitched this whole redemption comeback storyline for Jeff Hardy. And I said Jeff Hardy would make a great challenger for Roman Reigns. He's not going to win the championship, but people still like him. And you could get one great story and one or two last really great matches out of Jeff Hardy at a world title level with Roman Reigns. And the people would buy into it because they love Jeff Hardy. For all the shit that he's been through, and he's older now, he's had some injuries, they love Jeff Hardy. And in fact, I'm in the middle of watching the Jeff Hardy Broken Skull Sessions on the network, something else I enjoy that airs on the network. And there's a part of the interview where he actually mentions that he would like to get in the ring with Roman Reigns. And I'm not done with it, but it's pretty good so far. It's not better than some of the other Broken Skulls I've seen. This one's a little more, you know, a little less interesting, but it's good so far. But you could get at least one pay-per-view match out of Jeff Hardy and Roman Reigns. But I mean, who else do they have? They've built up nobody. Nobody. Drew is eventually going to challenge Roman. We know that. But, you know, after that, the well runs dry. They've done a piss-poor job of building up enough credible baby faces where you could say, okay, I can map out the next 4 months or 5 months of challengers for Roman Reigns. Or that's the guy that should beat Roman Reigns. And it's not Brock, because Brock's going to be part-time. We need a full-time guy. Well, the only realistic full-time guy they have on SmackDown who could conceivably win the title from Roman is Drew McIntyre. So if you're not a Drew McIntyre fan, if you were, you know, bored of him as the WWE champion on Raw, well, guess what? You're fucked. Because Drew's the only credible guy after Brock that they have on that roster. At least with Jeff, you can get a match out of it for a month or two. So the reason that you might be tiring of Roman Reigns as much as anything is WWE's inability or unwillingness to get enough credible baby faces over at a level where people would look at them and go, yes, I believe this person could be the one to beat the tribal chief and take the championship from Roman. Does anybody believe that Ricochet has a shot? I mean, are you fucking kidding me? Of course not. Of course not. Even Jeff realistically doesn't have much of a chance. Got a better chance than Ricochet does. Ricochet, Shinsuke, who's the Intercontinental Champion right now. What a fucking waste of a title that is. There's nobody on that brand. There's nobody. It didn't have to be that way, but they've booked themselves into this situation. So we got to bring back Brock earlier than expected because we don't have anybody else. So let's bring in Brock. I still enjoy Roman in the whole tribal chief thing, but it is going to get old soon. They don't find people and really make things interesting here. It's going to get old very soon. Dry Chicken. Should AEW consider doing their pay-per-view shows and TV specials at baseball stadiums in the near future? I don't think they're ready for that yet. I still don't think they're ready for that yet. I mean, you could do, you know, next year, you could probably do one big pay-per-view there. Doing a TV special at a baseball stadium, seems a little ambitious to me. They're close. I think they're going to get there soon where they could pack in a stadium. Maybe not an 80,000-seat stadium, but like a 30,000-seater. I think they're well on their way. I just don't think they're there just yet. Of course, you also have the stadium where the Jaguars play, right in their backyard in Jacksonville. Bob the Builder. In my opinion, Game of Thrones will blow you away. Stay patient with it. It is long-term storytelling. Bodacious says, prayers for Steve the Pirate. Let us get a prayer circle going for Steve the Pirate. I don't know why, but apparently Steve the Pirate needs our help. Fire Panda, I would have him attack Eddie Kingston and Bryan Danielson the same way Rollins broke up the Shield. That is in reference to Jon Moxley. Bob the Builder says, do you ever get recognized in public? I have before, yes. I have. Not all the time or anything like that, but has it happened before? Yes, it has. Fire Panda, Corbin should beat Roman in 30 seconds. LOL. And Bulu, keep or delete Hans Gruber in Die Hard or Dennis Hopper in Speed. Hans Gruber is the greatest villain of all time. I mean, there's no comparison here. So, obviously, I'm going to pick Hans Gruber. Or Bill Clay. If you saw the movie, you'll understand the reference. All right, so I'm all caught up on your super chat. Oh, we got one more. I should have kept my fucking mouth shut. Mario DeRose, what's going on? Dropping $4.99 here on the stream. Could you have booked CM Punk in 2011 better than WWE did? Yes. Yes. You see this mug in my hand right here? This spiffy little mug? This mug could have booked CM Punk in 2011 better than WWE did. So I hope that answers your question. Bob the Builder, have you watched Inception? I have, and it was a very frustrating movie. I didn't quite understand everything I was seeing. I understood maybe half the movie. It was a well-done movie, well-shot and everything, very long, but very, very frustrating movie. Fire Panda, best heel in wrestling right now. I mean, MJF would have to be at or near the top of the list. Jay White, I think, is another name that should be considered. I just haven't seen enough of him lately. We need to see more Jay White. Talk about that forbidden door. Maybe we need some Jay White to pop up in AEW next year. Tuxedo says, mug for head booker. Mug is all elite. We need somebody with Photoshop skills. Here you go. Here's me in the mug. Let's go. Let's get that is all elite image that we see when they put the picture with the all elite shit. Solo Monster's mug is all elite. All right, it is time. You guys know the drill. On the subject of who would have booked this and who would have booked that better than WWE, it is time for Be the Booker. Where we attempt to do just that. We attempt to book ourselves one hell of a WrestleMania main event. And we never know where the wheel will land. Where will the spinning wheel land? Who will it land on? We don't know, but it's fun to find out. So let us find out who is going to be part of our men's WrestleMania main event. And then we'll do the final super chats here. Our first choice is Booker T, the five-time WCW champion. Booker T. Who never did have a WrestleMania main event. Booker T will be getting his first main event at WrestleMania, and he will be stepping into the ring with the Macho Man, Randy Savage. I like it. Randy Savage and Booker T. Now, that's a WrestleMania main event. I can take that. I can dig that. I dig that, sucker. That's right. Look at his neck. My God. Looks like a bunch of twigs are stuck in his throat. That guy right there, though, man, he's the man. What I think of the most, when I think of a complete pro wrestler, I mean, obviously, I'm a big Bret Hart fan. But when I really think of, like, what do I visualize as a pro wrestler, like when I was growing up, in terms of somebody who, obviously, he can work, he could go in the ring. But in terms of his promos, in terms of his energy and his charisma, in terms of his outfits, everything, all rolled up into one. It's this guy right here. It's the Macho Man. So now we switch over to the ladies. And we do with the ladies as we did with the men. Since there's two nights of WrestleMania, we can have a men's main event one night and a women's main event the other. So let's see who is going to participate on the women's side. We've got Nia Jax. And that ends the Be the Booker segment for this week. There ain't no coming back from that, so there's no point in continuing. So let's get back to your super chats. We've got Bob the Builder dropping a dollar. Buy or sell Leonardo DiCaprio or Will Smith? I'll go with DiCaprio. Go Leonardo DiCaprio. Bulu Fatulu. Edward Furlong or Jonathan Taylor Thomas or Ralph Macchio. Better teen actor. I'll go with Mr. Macchio. And Fire Panda, Booker T against the Macho Man would end with a roll-up. Well, today in today's wrestling, it would, yes. It would end with a roll-up or some otherwise fuck finish. In WWE, that is how it would end. Or it would just be 50-50, where Booker T would win, and then the Macho Man would come back and win. But, you know, Macho Man would do something to Booker T, and Booker T would just stand there. He would stand there, and he would stare at the Macho Man. As their music played, and as they go to back to the announcers, who are talking about some such thing regarding the WWE Universe. And then they would throw it to a video package of something that happened last week, and they would go to the back, and then in the back, there's the Honky Tonk Man. And Kayla Braxton is saying, ladies and gentlemen, my guest at this time, the Honky Tonk Man. And the Honky Tonk Man would come into the camera, and he would be looking off camera. And I have no idea what the Honky Tonk Man would be looking at. Perhaps he sees a naked woman off in the distance. I don't know. Or maybe he sees a promoter who stiffed him on a payday. Whatever it is, he's looking off in the distance. And then Kayla would start asking her questions, and the Honky Tonk Man would never once look into the camera. It would look like he's reading off cue cards off camera. He would read something scripted that doesn't sound like anything any human being on the face of the earth would ever say. And then when the segment ends, the camera would zoom in on the Honky Tonk Man's face as he's looking off into the distance at said naked woman, and it would linger on him for an uncomfortable period of time to the point where I'm wondering if my screen froze. That's the Kevin Dunn way. So that, if you took all of those old school classic wrestlers and dumped them in today's era, not a single fucking one of them would get over. The way they produce television today, there isn't a single fucking one of them that would get over at the level that they were over 30 years ago. 35 years ago. Wouldn't happen. That's the difference between then and now. Then they knew how to make stars. Today, they have no idea. Everyone looks off into the I don't know what they're looking at. I don't know what they're looking at, but they're looking at something. I sure would like one of these days for the camera to pan over and show us what these fucking people are looking at. Nier, love you solo in chat. Thanks for the support. I hope you are doing well. After that was a very upsetting super chat the other night, I was very upset to find out that you're going through what you are going through, but you have a lot of support here from the community, and we all obviously are all hoping for the best for our good friend Nier, who's going through a tough time right now. Bob the Builder, do you think WWE looked desperate for The Rock at Survivor Series? Do I think they look desperate? They basically had an entire tribute pay-per-view to The Rock that seemed to be building to The Rock at the very end, and The Rock never showed up. Yeah, I would say they look pretty pathetic at Survivor's. But if that wasn't pathetic enough, we had Vince McMahon and his giant fucking golden egg So you tell me what was more pathetic, the egg or the big tribute to The Rock without The Rock even sending in so much as a pre-recorded video message. That was pretty sad. Groovy Goose. Nia Jax could face vacant and still injure them. Yeah, I don't think Vacant wants any part of Nia Jax. Hey, Farhan, thank you for the $4.99, brother. My Valley Stream brother, thank you. I appreciate that. Turtlehead. Turtlehead 2. Ralph Macchio was like 23 years old when Karate Kid debuted. He is 60 years old. Damn, I am old. Yes, you are. You're very old. Not like the young guns, like us, here in the chat. Skywalker, one WWE superstar that Vince McMahon would book for a match next week on Raw, but forgot that he or she has been released 6 months ago. There have been 80 WWE talent releases this year. I'm going back over the list in my head. Who would Vince book on Raw that he thinks is still employed? Take your pick. I don't know. Where's Bray? We want to do another funhouse. We're going to bring back Alexa. Where's Bray? Is Bray here? Where's Bray? We want the funhouse. Where's Bray? We're going to put the egg in the funhouse. I want the egg in the funhouse. We need a puppet. We need a puppet with the egg. We'll call him Eggman. Marcus the Entertainer. Buy or sell, better promo, Macho Man cream of the crop or Macho Man cup of coffee? Cup of coffee in the big time. I'll go cream of the crop. That was a classic. Cream of the crop. Yeah, it's 80, not including... You include backstage people and office staff from the tower in Connecticut, and it's well in excess of 100 people that they have fired this year. But just talent alone, the number is right around 80. And we're not done yet. We still have another month to go. There's still time. He wants to get a few more names in there just in time for Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. There's still time. Casey says, did I see Undertaker's comments about Omos? I did. And there's no way that he honestly believes what he's saying. I'm sorry. Omos has benefited from working with AJ Styles this period of time they've been together. And what little they have him doing, he does it fine. He doesn't do much, but he does it fine. But comparing him and calling him, what was the exact quote? Comparing him to like a young Andre the Giant or something. I feel like there are people who have never seen a young Andre the Giant actually work. So, again, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but, yeah, Marcus, he was basically, he was complimenting him. He was paying him a very nice compliment by comparing him to Andre the Giant. I think it was a young Andre the Giant. And I think that was just him being very nice, because I don't see it. This is Undertaker in his old age and retirement being very diplomatic. He wants to keep his Legends contract. That's right. Remember, he signed supposedly 15-year contract. So he's not going anywhere. But then again, when WWE signs you to a contract, it's not as if you have any real job security. It doesn't matter how long the contract is. I think Undertaker is safe, though. I don't think they would want him going anywhere else. Andre was great. If you've never seen Andre the Giant when he was a lot leaner and a lot younger, you can find footage on YouTube. The way he was moving around the ring, and I think there was footage of him doing almost like a Rana, like in a match or something. It was crazy, but he was so agile on his feet. And I don't see that same level of agility from Omos, so I don't exactly know what it is that Undertaker... Now look, Undertaker is a wrestler, I'm not. Perhaps there's something that he sees in him that I'm not seeing as a fan. Undertaker is a fellow big man, but on the surface, it seems like a ridiculous quote. Fire Panda, thank you for the $5, man. I can just imagine Vince sitting in Gorilla watching The Rock Battle Royal thinking this is such good stuff. Can't swear in the Super Chat. That's right. EJ Slemp says, do you think more non-wrestling fans know who Stone Cold is or who Andre the Giant is? I would say Andre, but we're so far removed now from the era of Andre. I don't know. Austin has done a lot of other stuff, like reality show type stuff. And today in 2021, I'm not so sure now. I would say Andre, but with a younger audience now, they maybe are not as familiar with Andre as they would be Austin these days. But if you would have asked me that question, I don't know, even 10 years ago, maybe. I mean, it would have been Andre slam dunk in terms of just like the general population. It might still be. His name has lived on. It's like this legend has been created for him. And there's been documentaries and books about his life. Bulu Fatulu, would you spend Christmas with Argyle from Die Hard or Steve? I don't know who's Steve the Pirate. Who is this Steve the Pirate? I have no idea who that is. But I'm already annoyed by him. And I wish he would just fucking vanish into the fucking outer core crust or whatever it's called of the earth. Argyle was cool. Argyle was hanging out in the limo in Die Hard. People were being shot up inside. He had the music blasting. He couldn't hear anything that was going on. Argyle is cool with me. Argyle now is probably like 60 years old. 50 years old. 60 years old. He's older than me. And Fire Panda. Okay, Solo Monster, question for you and the chat. Who is on your wrestling Mount Rushmore? I'll leave that to the chat. I've answered this question so many times. I'm so sick of these Mount Rushmore questions. Not you, Fire Panda. I'll answer it for you. But my God, we need to put this Mount Rushmore shit to bed. I'm gonna blow up Mount Rushmore if this wrestling Mount, I won't say for real because the FBI will be on my doorstep. But you know what I mean. This wrestling Mount Rushmore stuff needs to be blown to smithereens and never spoken of again. But for you, on my Mount Rushmore, well, obviously, I mean, on my personal Mount Rushmore, Brett would be on there. Personal Mount Rushmore. Hogan, Savage. I have to say Hogan because I don't know if I'd be a fan if I didn't come up during that Hulkamania period and get hooked in by those guys. Hogan probably would still end up on mine. Savage, Brett, and rounding it out? Gosh, I don't know, man. I could see like Hogan, Savage, Brett, and Sean, maybe. Something like that. If the question was, who do I think would represent an actual wrestling Mount Rushmore in terms of like top names, you'd almost have to go Bruno, Hogan, Austin, and then either Rock or Cena. Cena had the longevity. Cena was there for, I mean, God, 15 years. He had a much longer run than Austin or The Rock did. What are we talking about? When you say Mount Rushmore, you got to think of it in specific terms. Your personal favorites, or are we talking business? Are we talking just major overall popularity? Quality matches? Feuds? Because that's kind of what I look at it as. I look at it as San Martino, Hogan, Austin, and then either Rock or Cena. And there's your Mount Rushmore right there. Some people would have Undertaker. Some people would have Ric Flair on theirs. Yeah, I mean, Hogan's going to be on a lot of them. Whether you like the guy or not, you cannot deny his influence and place in history, especially during that big boom period in the mid-80s. Hogan got a lot of people into wrestling, and Hogan was the guy for a long, long time. And I can't think of wrestling back then when I was coming up as a young fan and not think of Hulk Hogan and Real American and the Winged Eagle Belt. I all associate them together. So he's going to be on that Mount Rushmore no matter what. You know, Nobody ever said you had to like the people who were on Mount Rushmore. But you can't deny their place in history. Hogan absolutely is on there. Fire Panda says, my personal favorite would be Jeff Hardy, Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, and Kane. And Dried Chicken says, Golden Egg or Arn Anderson's Golden Glock? I'm going with the man with the golden gun. Armed Anderson. Mr. Tickle says, I don't care for Hogan or Cena on Mount Rushmore, but they're such big names to non-wrestling fans that you cannot leave them off of it. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to leave Cena off even. That's why I struggle with Rock or Cena. I mean, Rock went on to become the, obviously a huge name. And he was also one of the top stars during that very lucrative Attitude Era period, Monday Night War period, that won the war for WWE. And maybe they wouldn't be around today if the war went a different way. So I think that puts a little more weight on people like Austin and Rock for carrying the company during such a pivotal time in its history. I think that has to be factored in there as well. But where would WWE be without John Cena getting over and being on top the way he was? Now, you could say that Cena prevented other people from getting over. Perhaps there would have been somebody else. But, boy, they would have been in a lot of trouble without Cena around, because when he was on the road and, you know, he was full-time active, you know, he was huge as far as the house shows and obviously the merchandise. So Cena's another one. Say what you want to about the guy. You don't have to like him personally. You don't have to like his matches, but you can't deny his place in history and how important he turned out to be to that company. Very, very important. They would have been in a much worse position were it not for John Cena. Even when he left, you could see it had a negative impact on business. Marcus the Entertainer says, Shawn Michaels, Stone Cold, The Rock, and Triple H is on his Mount Rushmore. EJ, my personal Mount Rushmore of the worst WWE wrestlers is Miz, Corbin, Ryback, and Nathan Jones. So I see you never saw Giant Gonzalez. You never saw Vladimir Kozlov. Among many, many others who should be on there other than The Miz. Marcus says, WWE having a singular top guy seems counterproductive to having a brand split. WWE having a singular top guy has been counterproductive for a long time, especially when Cena was the guy. I think you should always strive to have two or three or four guys, because that one guy, you work him to the bone, he's going to get hurt, or he's going to go film a movie, something's going to happen, and he's going to go away. And you're going to be very, very lucky if you have a number two, a close number two, who you could just slide in there. So when they would put all their eggs in the basket of that one guy, I never understood the logic behind that, because injuries happen all the time, suspensions, you know, shit happens. You don't have anybody else who's anywhere near that level and that guy disappears, you're fucked. You should always want to have a number two or a number three. They got very lucky in the late 90s. Austin and Rock getting over at that level at the same time, that probably will never happen again. That was luck, is what that was. That it just worked out at the same exact time, and they got over so white hot with the audience. So it doesn't have to be an Austin Rock thing, but I do think you definitely want more than just one guy. Amiibo says, Vince, Dunn, Johnny Ace, and Bruce all the way. That's a Mount Rushmore, all right. I won't say of what, but that is certainly a Mount Rushmore. And Fire Panda, KC DeMost, put this in the chat. Who ruined their legacy more, Hogan or Flair? I mean, Flair at this point, some of the stuff he says, it's more sad and pathetic than anything else. It's kind of like superstar Billy Graham. You know, I mean, He's against WWE. They make up. They put him on payroll. They're paying him like a $2,000 consultant's fee, whatever the hell it was they were paying him. And he says wonderful glowing things about WWE. And then one day they fire him. They cut him. So they don't want to pay him anymore. And all of a sudden, he's back to saying bad things about WWE. And he's selling his Hall of Fame ring. And WWE is Vince McMahon is the devil, and this and this and this. He goes whichever way the wind blows. It's pathetic. Hogan, look, you've got Hogan on video saying something fucking horrendous. Whether it was said in confidence or not, it's out there. He still said it. You know, if he didn't say it, then it wouldn't be out there. You can't ignore something like that. As far as his legacy is concerned, it obviously did quite a bit of damage to his legacy. And you're comparing a horrible thing that Hogan said on video to accusations, which is what they are. They're accusations against Ric Flair that he, basically sexually assaulted women in his day, or a woman. That's just the plane ride from hell story. Take your pick on which one you think is worse. I'm not here to grade or judge which is the worst offense here. But they both, for various reasons, stained their legacy. Hanging around for too long, saying things that just are pathetic. I mean, Hogan, if Hogan's breathing, he's lying. If his lips are moving, he's lying. I don't know why he feels the need to lie and over-exaggerate all these stories. I mean, they're entertaining. You could do a whole book out of all the lies that Hogan has told over the years. I just think it's more sad and pathetic than anything else. Whatever happened to retiring with grace? You know? Grace and dignity. Apparently that doesn't exist in the wrestling business. Anyway. Let's do a few more and then we'll get out of here. I'll let you guys go. Dorenzo. Who would be the number two and three top guys of AEW? Number one guy is the champ. Champ right now is Hangman Page. So he would be number one. I would say CM Punk has got to be up there, right? Probably number two. Number three, I might go MJF. I mean, you could say Punk and Danielson at the moment, but, kind of looking ahead, I kind of look at it as Hangman, Punk, and MJF, maybe. Darby's in the conversation. Danielson's in the conversation. Moxley when he comes back. They got that. AEW is actually in a great position. They have a lot of names at the top of the card that you can kind of plug into that top spot. It's like the opposite of WWE at the moment in terms of the top of the card. Yukio rules. Hey, Solomonster, I hope you're doing well. Do you think Naito and the rest of LIJ come in to help Andrade at some point? I wasn't thinking along those lines. I don't know. I hadn't really thought about that. I don't think so. We could see Naito at some point, but I don't know that it'll be in that, in that context. Especially if they want him coming in maybe as like a babyface. EJ, even though I can't stand The Miz, I'll take him out and replace him with Brodus Clay. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Marcus the Entertainer, telling non-wrestling fans that Dwayne Johnson was top wrestler is like telling non-rap fans that Ice Cube made F the Police. Firepan 007, what's the biggest that doesn't work for me brother moment? In WWE. Oh, I don't know. What do you mean by that? That doesn't work for me, brother, in terms of just a terrible idea? Or that doesn't work for me, brother, in terms of someone playing politics behind the scenes? I don't know. Plus Ultra Adrian with the $4.99. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Hopefully you were able to have all the noodle pudding you could eat. Oh, I did. It was delicious. And now we put it to bed for another year. Because otherwise I'd be eating it every week. And that's not going to do me any good if I start doing that. So thank you, Ultra. And thank you, everybody, for all the Super Chat love tonight. Going out of November in style. Going out of November. November, our biggest month ever on YouTube. And that happens because of you. And all of your support, and I thank you for that. Fire Panda says not wanting to do the job. I suppose Bret Hart. Look at the shitstorm that it caused, right? Either Bret Hart at Survivor Series in 97 or Austin on Raw when he walked out when they said you're going to lose to Brock Lesnar. He goes, nope. he went home and he was gone for 7 months. That was a pretty big name for them to lose. Would I like to see MLW against AEW Supercard someday? Yeah, I don't see any kind of Supercard happening with any promotions, but I think some MLW appearances on Dynamite or Rampage would be pretty fun. You know, they have a lot of talented guys on that roster in MLW. Jacob Fatu, Alex Hammerstone, freaking Savio Vega on the roster there. But they got a lot of other guys, a lot of young guys. Yeah, it'd be nice to see some MLW, AEW love going back and forth between the two companies. Austin was justified, in my opinion, says T-Mac. He was. He was 100% justified in his reasoning for not thinking it was a good idea. Walking out on his employer, that's a different story. And it cost him a lot of money. But was it stupid to have Austin booked in a random match against Brock Lesnar, King of the Ring qualifier, unannounced, and losing on TV in their first match? Yes, it was. And the reason that happened is because Austin was being very vocal and outspoken about how shitty the WWE creative was at the time. He went on their own Bite This Show, in fact, on the website, and said he thought that the creative booking in the company at that time was, I believe the word he used was shit or shitty. And they didn't like that very much. So booking him in a random match against Brock that he would lose was absolutely a punishment for Steve Austin. And Austin recognized it as such and said, fuck you, I'm going home. But was he right to say that that was a bad idea and bad creative? Of course it was. You got to book the first ever Steve Austin Brock Lesnar match unannounced as a qualifying match on Monday Night Raw? That was a punishment, pure and simple, for speaking out and being vocal about their shitty booking. Could I see Jacob Fatu against Roman Reigns, main eventing in WWE in the next 10 years? I could see something between them, yeah. I guess they don't need Jacob Fatu, though. They have the third Uso. They have Solo Sikoa in NXT 2.0. So I think they've had their Samoan quota has been reached. I also don't think they like Jacob Fatu as far as some of his history is concerned. On a personal level. Fire Panda 007, I feel like Hogan versus HBK was just a giant that doesn't work for me, brother. That was the ultimate situation where the master politician was out-politicked. You can't beat the master. Sean thought he was the master. He thought he had all the stroke. He was wrong. He got outworked by the ultimate worker, brother. That don't work for me, dude. All right, I hope you guys had a great Black Friday. Thank you for spending it with me. It is 1 a.m. I'm going to get on out of here. Don't forget, we have the poll up on Twitter. You can vote and follow me on there. Also, don't forget to hit the like button on your way out here. It takes 2 seconds. You just hit that thumbs up, and it will help boost this video just a little bit more. I will be live with you on December 1st. That'll be our first December stream next week. That'll be for AEW Dynamite. And, of course, this Sunday episode 732 of the Solo Monster Sounds Off. We'll talk about the news of the week and Raw and SmackDown and NXT as we head into War Games next Sunday. Some AEW news and notes. A lot of good stuff, as we have every single week. And don't forget that Pro Wrestling Tee sale is still ongoing. Now through, I believe, Tuesday. I think Tuesday. You don't need any code. You just go to prowrestlingtees.com/solomonstersoundsoff. You can buy a shirt. You get 20% off. Boom. The Black Friday sale continues. All right, be well, stay safe, and I will see you guys back here on Wednesday night for the Dynamite stream. Have yourselves a great weekend. I'll see you for 7:32. Take care, guys.